Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
First, what was my sustenance was that I would open the Bible every day and just cry and just say, God, you got to meet me because I'm about ready to go under. I'm literally about ready to drown. I mean, I was so at the end of my rope. There had been so many things that had happened. I didn't need it to know that God would someday work it all. I needed help now because I was drowning then. I just needed to know, God, are you here? Do you see this? Are you with me? I mean, I knew intellectually that he was, but I need to know emotionally that he was right there with me in the midst of all my pain. And that was a game changer for me. It really was.
The words you just heard spoken by author, speaker, and pastor's wife, Donna Jones. Now, if a pastor's wife ever has an experience like this, doesn't it give you a little bit of encouragement that perhaps you're not the only one who's feeling this way? From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and in just a moment, part two of Jim's continuing conversation with Donna Jones, talking about a woman's guide to meeting God. You know, APU is here with educational opportunities for you. As a matter of fact, if you want to find out what APU's undergraduate experience is like, you can visit apu.edu/blogs and read what real students have to say. It's a good idea if you're thinking about continuing education or maybe you have a son or daughter who is looking for a place to land there. And now, here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we have a continuing conversation with Donna Jones, nationally known speaker, women's speaker, author of a couple of great books. The book we're going to talk about today is called Seek, A Woman's Guide to Meeting God. And yes, I'm going to admit it right at the beginning of this broadcast. I read this book and I loved it. She's also the author of Taming Your Family Zoo, 6 Weeks to Raising a Well-Mannered Child. I read that book too, but I actually thought it was about my family because our family is kind of the zoo. Great to have you with us.
Oh, so good, Donna, to be here.
A friend and her husband, JP, is one of the great pastors here in Southern California and just does such a wonderful job of preaching the word. We're talking about A Woman's Guide to Meeting God. And 6 years ago or so, you went through a season of what you called heartache and pain. And I want you to talk about how those events reshaped your faith in ways that you really had never imagined.
Yeah. And the reality is all of us go through heartache and pain. There's just not one of us that doesn't. And yet, sometimes when we go through it, we feel like we're the only one.
Exactly. And sometimes we really do think that other people don't go through it. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced every family has their burdens. If they are past one and they're doing fine now, well, it's going to come again. We have to prepare for that. But you had a significant experience kind of through yours.
Yeah, I really did. Well, one particular conversation was a turning point for me in this whole journey. First, what was my sustenance was that I would open the Bible every day and just cry and just say, God, you got to meet me because I'm about ready to go under. I'm literally about ready to drown. And one day I was, my husband ended up in ICU after just a year of really difficult health problems. And he was in ICU for a week. And about day five, I was just done. I mean, I was so at the end of my rope. There had been so many things that had happened this particular year, and the health issue was just one of a number of different things. But it was about day five, and it was dinner time, and I thought, I need to get out of this hospital. I need to go someplace else for dinner. And the hospital that we were at happened to be across from a mall which had a food court. So I'm in the mall, and I'm walking to the food court. My brother calls me, and he said, Donna, how are you doing? And I said, well, truthfully, I'm not doing very well. And he said, well, Donna, you know, God causes all things to work together for the good, for those who love the Lord, Romans 8:28, which is a Bible verse. And I knew that God would use even this to work together for the good. But Jim, I didn't need it to know that God would someday work it all. I needed help now because I was drowning then. So he's telling me this, and I'm realizing my heart is just so broken. I was crying, and my tears were just falling so heavily they were falling on the floor of the mall. And I remember thinking, looking at the well-dressed women with their shopping bags, looking at me thinking, oh my goodness, what's wrong with her? And I remember thinking, I don't even care. I'm so at the end, I do not even care. So my brother's telling me how God was eventually going to work this out. And I'm thinking, oh, he just doesn't get it. I'm ready to lose it. So I just said, Raj, you don't get it. I'm brokenhearted. And he got really quiet. And then he just said these words. Oh, sis, God is near to the brokenhearted. And when he said that, Jim, it was like a Band-Aid got put over my heart. Because truly, that's what I just really needed to know right then. I just needed to know, God, are you here? Do you see this? Are you with me? I mean, I knew intellectually that he was, but I needed to know emotionally that he was right there with me in the midst of all my pain. And that was a game changer for me. It really was.
God is near to the brokenhearted. That's a great reminder. And I bet you somebody was driving down the road brokenhearted and they heard that. And it was a great reminder to them that, you know, he is near. Sometimes even when we don't feel near.
Right.
Now, you had a chapter in your book where you said faith is not a feeling. And I know this sounds like a stereotype, but I actually think that more women have deeper feelings. When I speak on marriage, oftentimes I wrote a book called Creating an Intimate Marriage, and I always say women get it. That means feeling connection with their spouse, emotional connection, and men think it's about sex, intimacy.
Right.
But the fact is that I think sometimes women, and you're talking in your book about a woman's guide to meeting God, they struggle sometimes with their feelings. And yet you write that faith is not a feeling.
Right, right. And you know what? I struggled with this for years. I literally felt hostage, taken hostage by my own emotions in terms of my faith.
Sure.
Because, you know, I would go to church and hear a great sermon and think, oh, I'm so filled with faith. And then I would go home and something would happen with one of the kids. And I would think, oh, well, what happened to my faith? You know, I equated having faith with feeling faith-filled.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't have anything to do with your feelings.
What do you say to the woman who says, I don't feel God, I don't feel faith? You know, my life is kind of falling apart, but yet I don't feel God, and they want to feel God.
Yes. Well, I'd say, first of all, you're totally normal,
mm-hmm.
because that happens to everybody. So stick with it. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
But faith isn't a feeling. Faith is believing what God says is true and acting on it. So I like to say that faith is working out what God works in. So, you know, we take what God's word says is true, and then whether we feel like it or not, we act on it. And that is living by faith. So let me just give you a real life example. So let's say you and your husband, you know, have had an argument. And I know you and your wife never have little kids.
Kathy and I, we say we have a high maintenance marriage. So, of course, we've never had an argument in our life.
No, we haven't either. But this is just, you know, just for example.
Right.
So, you know, you're having a little tiff and it's the end of the day. You're getting ready for bed. And you remember the verse that says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, you have a choice. See, my feelings would say, don't let the sun go down on my anger.
Right.
Forget it. Because he needs to be the one to apologize right now.
Right.
That's living by my feelings. But living by faith says, you know what? I don't feel like making this right now.
Right.
But because God's word says that's what I should do, I'm going to do it. See, it's believing what God says is true and acting on it. That's a woman who lives by faith.
Yeah, no, that's, and actually a man who lives by faith,
well,
too.
It's that's
great,
right.
Great input. I really appreciate that. At the same time, I want to throw something that you said in your book out that almost sounds contradictory. I don't think it is, but I want you to talk about it. You basically say that we have to maintain, or it's okay to maintain, a healthy level of doubt, and it can actually strengthen a person's faith. So how does the issue of faith and doubt and feeling kind of all fit in there?
Yeah, well, because there is an unseen element to faith. I mean, the Bible even says, faith is what we hope for, the conviction of things not seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we could absolutely see it, no, faith is involved.
So is doubt okay?
Yes. I think doubt is normal. And it goes back to even, you know, doubting Thomas, the very familiar story where, you know, essentially all his colleagues were saying, oh my goodness, we've seen the resurrected Christ. And, you know, he was like, unless I see it for myself, I just will not buy into it. I respect you guys. I trust you guys. You're my friends. But I need proof of my own. And I think the thing we can take away from Doubting Thomas is that God is a personal God that will reveal himself to us according to how we need him to reveal himself to us. And so, but the thing about Thomas was he was a true seeker. It wasn't as if, you know, Jesus would show him the nails prints in his hand, and then Thomas would say, well, now I need one more piece of evidence. You know, he was a genuine seeker that had genuine questions. And so he got a genuine answer.
Yeah, that's great input. Well, I thought this was fascinating. You said in your book that the only thing that can keep a person from meeting God is pride. It's the single factor that can thwart our capacity to meet God. And what you were saying is a lot of women have pride. How does the pride block our relationship with God?
Yeah. Oh, and you know, it's so funny because I think that most people think, well, the only thing that can stop me from meeting God is my knowledge of God, or maybe my background, you know, because I've got this tainted past, or my emotions, you know, I have an up and down feelings and relationship with God, but that's not it. I mean, all those things, certainly they contribute to our, you know, experience of God, but the only thing that can stop a person, man or woman, from meeting God is pride. Because pride is a big view of yourself. Humility is having a big view of God. And you can't have a big view of yourself and a big view of God at the same time. Now, I'm not talking about positive self-esteem because we need that. Right. But, you know, pride puts myself in the place that only God can be. And so it really just, it's the ceiling that stops our progress in knowing God.
Boy. Great, great input. In your book, you quoted C.S. Lewis, and he was once asked why he became a Christian, and he replied, I gave in, and I admitted that God was God. Great input. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and his continuing conversation with author, speaker, and pastor's wife, Donna Jones. Our theme for today's program, A Woman's Guide to Meeting God. If you missed any part of this program or part one, which we aired on the last edition of the broadcast, we have audio archives available, no cost for that, at homeward.com. Or if you'd like a copy of the full-length audio CD, include a gift of any amount when you write to P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California. The zip code 92693.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I think it's a great idea for the church to collect surplus Bibles to send overseas. Mm. We have so many of them here, and we hardly ever read them.
No, not that one. It was a graduation gift from my grandfather.
Okay, well, how about this one?
Debbie, you can't be serious. Birthday
what?
Present for my first Sunday school teacher. Oh, and this one for reciting the 23rd Psalm from memory in the third grade. And then this one over here. Oh, boy, I remember that one from youth camp. It was just the best Bible I ever had.
We say the Bible is the most important book in the world, but if it's only a memory book to us, our kids will never be able to relate to how important it really is to us. That is, unless we intentionally let them catch us in the act reading it every now and then. Well, that principle is the third of 10 ways you can start communicating Christ to your kids. Well, for a free copy of our tip sheet called 10 Ways You Can Start Communicating Christ to Your Kids, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Donna Jones with us. Wonderful conversation today. Just even at the break, I was saying, wow, does she do a great job? Such a privilege to have her on the broadcast. A Woman's Guide to Meeting God. And yet, if you're a man and you're listening, you're getting a lot out of this too, as I am. Nationally known speaker, author of a great new book called Seek, A Woman's Guide to Meeting God. In fact, I was reading some of the endorsements with the people who are, you know, big timers, and they just said, hey, this is the new go-to book, and I'm just so happy to have you on the broadcast with us, Donna. I want you to respond to this quote about Christian faith. I take it from your book. If God wants all people to know him, why do so few really know him? The problem isn't with God, it's with us. We are our own worst enemy. And I think that's so true, but I want you to unpack that for us.
Yeah, that's we are our own worst enemy, and we don't even know it many, many times. And I think the thing about God is we can know him to the capacity that we want to know him. And it's really all about seeking him. Like, if you seek God, you'll find God. If you don't seek God, you know, you'll know him less or maybe not at all.
Right.
And, you know, originally this book was not titled Seek. It was titled something else. And the publisher came back and said, let's tweak the title a little bit. And we kind of went through it. And I realized I used this one verse over and over and over again, Jeremiah 29:13. If you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I think that's kind of God's really message to each of us individually. I think, you know, if he could sit with us right now being in this room, he would look at both of us and say, you know what? If you seek me, you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. I mean, he is knowable. It's just how much do we want to know him? The ball's really in our court.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because he does the work. It's not that we become Christians because of works or anything like that, but our job is just simply to seek. He's there. And it's to seek. I was talking with a young woman recently, a friend of my daughter's, and she was saying that she wanted to grow in her faith. And I was saying, well, you know, I'm not telling you not to read some of the books you're reading, but I'm just simply saying if you continue to only read those, only put this kind of stuff in your head, but not choose to ever put room for God within your head, in your reading or in your actions, then you're probably not going to, you know, see him as clearly. I said, so again, I'm not telling you to quit reading. She was reading some really kind of awful books, I thought. But I just simply, I didn't want to kind of burn on her, but I wanted to say, look at, you know, read books that bring God into your mind. Read the scripture. It brings God into your mind. Go to church. She wasn't choosing to go to church. She was one of the many 20-somethings who have kind of, you know, fled the church. And really, if you put yourself in the place, in the right place, where God is present, you're going to experience God.
That's exactly right. And you know what? This has ramifications not just for us as adults, but for our children.
Yes.
I was just having a conversation with a gal who actually became a Christian through a Bible study that I'm leading. And so she's only been a Christian maybe 2 years. And she has a preteenage son who's kind of going through that thing where it was like, okay, church was cool last year, but now I'm in eighth grade and I don't know if church is so cool. And so she, you know, she was asking, what should I do about this? I don't know. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you told him about your own spiritual journey? Because you weren't raised in the church. And then 2 years ago, you know, you, for whatever reason, joined this Bible study and your life has been totally changed. And she said, you know, I have never told him my journey. I said, I bet you, if you told him why you feel like it's so important, because it's been so important to you,
yeah,
and tell him your story, it'll make a big difference to him. So, you know, this has ramifications for our families.
Absolutely.
And our friends.
That's actually a great advice. I hear parents all the time because I work with parents who oftentimes have teens and preteens. And, you know, they're so struggling, and I've never given them that advice. And I'm going to start taking the Donna Jones, you know, advice right to those people. Hey, I smiled when I read this story, and I, as you know, have a great respect and admiration for your husband. I think he's one of the best speakers around as a pastor. And he had this, surefire remedy for removing sin, or at least a way to get rid of an oil stain from a cheerleading uniform. So you got to tell us that story.
Oh, this story makes me laugh even now, even thinking about it. So our middle daughter, Kylie, was a high school cheerleader. And so she had a 2-day competition, and she came home from her first day, and JP and I were not able to go to the first day. We were going to go to the second, but we weren't able to go to the first. She walks in the door, and the minute she walks in, I look at her face, I know something's wrong. Turns out she's lost her cell phone. In her quest to retrieve it, it had gone down in between these stairs, and it was real greasy and oily. And so her cheerleading uniform had an oil stain all the way from the shoulder to the wrist. And she goes, Mom, what am I going to do? I have to, you know, wear this uniform tomorrow morning. I said, oh, I'm like the laundry aficionado. Give this to me. I'll make this. I can handle this. Well, I started scrubbing, bleaching, soaking, and this thing was not coming out. I'm thinking, holy cow, what are we going to do? You know, so it's like 11:30, and I'm still scurrying around the house trying to figure this thing out. JP looks at me. He goes, you know what, Donna, you're exhausted. I'm going to be up. He just started watching a TV show. Just give this to me. And I said, I don't know. He goes, no, seriously, write me a list of everything that you would have done, and I'll follow your list meticulously. So I went, okay. So I made him a list. I went on to bed. We get up the next morning. My daughter comes downstairs. Her uniform is perfect, white as snow. And I'm thinking, wow, he is good. So, you know, making breakfast. But then I notice there's this chemical odor in our house. And I'm sniffing. I'm asking the kids, do you guys smell that? What could it be? We don't know. JP walks downstairs. I look at him and I said, what is that chemical odor in our house? Do you smell that? And he goes, oh, yeah, that's probably Kylie. And I said, what? Why would she smell like a chemical factory? And he said, well, last night you went to bed. I tried everything on the list. Nothing worked. So I thought, I know. I'll spray paint her uniform.
So he took white paint and he spray painted the oil.
He spray painted over it. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, as you know in the book, it's kind of like, it's really a metaphor for what God does for us. Because we come to God and we say, you're going to be mad at me. I'm stained. And it's not just oil. I got a lot more going on than oil. And, you know, God says, hey, I'm your father. Hand it to me. I'll cover your stain, not with spray paint, but with the blood of my son.
Yeah. And that's, I want you, we don't have much time left, but I want you to talk more about that. You had a quote that I just absolutely underlined. I thought it was incredible. You said, nothing can make God not love you. And I think a lot of times we think those stains in our life, whatever we do, that God doesn't love us. I mean, he's irritated with us, but yet our Heavenly Father is different than our own earthly fathers or others. He loves us unconditionally, not for what we do, but for who we are. But I want you to unpack that. Nothing can make God not love you.
That's exactly right. And it's the great lie when we believe otherwise. It is the great lie that we have to just tell ourselves, that is not true if I'm believing that God doesn't love me. JP has come up with this amazing quote that he says over and over again. And it's, the truest thing about you is what God says is true. And so often we live like the truest thing about us is what other people say is true, or the truest thing about us is what we feel like is true, or the truest thing about us is what my family of origin or my culture says is true. But the truest thing about you is what God says is true. And God says, nothing can separate you from my love. I love you just the way you are.
Great, great input. Thank you, Donna,
you
for being
so
with
welcome.
Us.
Thank you.
You know, the truest thing about you is what God says about you. Wow, that's just great stuff. What a privilege to have Donna Jones with us today, and I highly recommend the book Seek, A Woman's Guide to Meeting God. Again, Donna, again, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Donna Jones here on the Homeward Broadcast. The new book, again, is called Seek, and we've been talking about A Woman's Guide to Seeking God and some very practical insights from a pastor's wife, somebody who people look to and hold to a higher standard. You and Kathy have been through this for the many years you've been married, too. I'm sure people look at Kathy and say, well, boy, Kathy Burns, she's either this superstar Christian or they hold her to a higher standard.
Well, they do hold her to a higher standard. And interestingly enough, being married to a pastor, and I was a pastor for 17 years, they'll often say, oh, it must be great to be married to Jim. He's just funny, and he's this, and oh, he's so caring. And she, you know, feels a little bit awkward, but has to say, well, she doesn't really say it, but she thinks in her mind, and he leaves his dirty underwear on the floor, and you know, he doesn't pick up after him, and there's all this, you know, toothpaste spilled everywhere.
Drinks milk out of the carton.
Yeah, that kind of a thing. And so the reality is you know, you have to be real life and be authentic as well. So it is interesting. They put different standards on you sometimes.
Yeah, they do. Well, you know, and that's the nature of marriage. And the one thing that you stress often and with great passion for couples is to take at least one book every year, a marriage book to work through to kind of refresh your marriage. And then also the Refreshing Your Marriage Conference is a great opportunity to just kind of get this, say, let's take Friday and Saturday and Sunday, take a weekend together, just mom and dad, and not be mom and dad. Let's be husband and wife for a weekend.
Well, you know, I find that if a couple will go to a conference, I actually challenge them to do it once a year. Doesn't have to be our conference, but ours is, by the way, Friday and Saturday. Just we end at 4 o'clock on Saturday, but it gives you what you need for the year in some ways. It kind of, you know, is a shot in the arm. It has great content. It has fun, but it also, you know, gives you some tools to take with you to a dialogue really for the whole year. And I highly challenge people to do that. And again, as we've been talking about with Donna Jones here about Seek, part of it is spiritual intimacy. And we have an incredible closing this year that really has some spiritual intimacy, but it won't be geeky. So for people who have marriages that aren't like super spiritual or, you know, highly Christian or something, it's still really good. And it's not geeky, I promise. No, the geek factor in a marriage conference. If you've ever been to some marriage conferences, they're kind of geeky.
Yeah.
Won't be geeky.
This
actually, you'll laugh like crazy with Doug Fields because he's just hilarious. He should have been a comedian.
Yeah, I think that could have been a good second calling for Doug, and I'm sure Kathy Fields would agree to that as well. Well, if you'd like more information on the Refreshing Your Marriage Conference, you can go to refreshingyourmarriage.com and learn more information about that. It's one of the events that we put on every year. As a matter of fact, Homeward hosts a lot of different types of events, a speaker speaking engagements, things like that, dealing with issues like understanding your teenager, passing a legacy of faith on to your kids, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there are lots of different ones. Go to homeward.com and you can find information about the seminars that we provide. Homeward is the largest provider of parenting seminars in the world. And we don't say that to brag. That's just a reality, the number of speakers that we have all across the country, internationally. And if you'd like to learn more about bringing one of these seminars to your church, just go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.